All right. Welcome, everyone. Come on in. Say hi. Happy Wednesday. I am Coach Betsy. I'll tell you a little bit about me here in a minute. Hello, Azizi. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I remember you from some of the opening Zooms and stuff that we did. I'm so excited you joined. All right, we got people raising their hand. Okay, as we get started, I want to introduce myself really quick, and then I'm going to try something out on y'all. I did pronounce it correctly. Great. Okay, we are working on making, you know, everything as clear as possible for all of y'all. So we have come up with a little, I guess I want to call it script, that we want to kind of go over with you for every Zoom call so that we can just be clear on how Zoom calls work, what you need to do. So for a lot of you new folks, you know, Zoom may be new to you, right? So I'm just going to read it and y'all can kind of give me some feedback on it and see if I'm missing anything or see if, you know, if anything isn't clear, and then we'll get started with coaching. Does that sound good? So, okay. And y'all can talk in the chat. I'm not going to be looking at very much in the chat once I get into coaching, but y'all can absolutely talk in there, share resources, all kinds of stuff in the chat, whatever you want to do. So, all right. Welcome everyone. So I'm Coach Betsy. As I said, oops, I need to change my name on the video. Just so y'all know who I am here in Little Rock, Arkansas. That's where I live. Only Kathy and Corinne live in Nashville, and the rest of us are all spread out. The rest of the team is all spread out all over the country. Sadie is in Philadelphia, and Paula is in Las Vegas, and Mary Jo is in Chicago, and gosh, we all are all spread out. Heidi is in like the Seattle area. Scumfrog is from, is from Memphis. That's not too far away. And Missy is in Ohio, and there's a few other folks, right? So we're all over the place. So, that's what's amazing about the internet, right? Is that we can just all work together, remotely. So I'm in Little Rock. I've been a member of PNP, since about forever. I was just listening to Corinne's first 60 video on how PNP got started. And I basically, have started almost from the very beginning. I found Corinne on a Weight Watchers message board. Back in, I think, 2006, 2007, when she was doing her Ask the Trainer info on Weight Watchers message board. That was the umpteenth time I had done Weight Watchers to try to lose weight. So, I love that. Scum Frog is an old fishing tournament nickname. Love it. So I have just been a member forever. And then, over time, I actually have lost weight twice with PNP. The first time I lost about 50 pounds, and this was before we really incorporated a lot of the thought work and a lot of the losing the mental weight stuff into PNP. So I lost it in a way that probably many of you have lost it in the past. I was counting calories. I was exercising my little tail off, literally. And I was hungry a lot of the time and things like that, right? And then something happened in 2013. I went through a really big breakup, and I didn't know how to deal with my feelings. And so, because I hadn't learned about the thought work, and so I gained some of the weight back. And that's when, right around when Corinne was going to life coach school, and she was incorporating all of that into PNP. And so I started losing weight again in 2015. And lost my weight for good that time. And the coaching worked for me. And I decided that I wanted to change my career. I have a background in social work and that I wanted to become a coach. And so I never thought that I'd be able to work with PNP, but I am now, long story short, I'm now living my dream and working full time for PNP from home. And it's just amazing. So I'd love to coach. I've just been looking forward to this call all day. And so it's just amazing. So that's a little bit about me. So let me give y'all this little intro to Zoom and how it works. Let's talk about how Zoom works so you can get the most out of your experience here. when you attend a live coaching call, no one can see you or hear you. So I can't see or hear any of you all right now, unless you raise your hand and volunteer to be coached. And y'all see there should be a raise hand button down here. So do not press that button unless you want me to call on you and bring you on screen with me. Corinne talks about one time she was on a call and someone was sitting on the toilet and they got brought onto the screen. So just be careful, because sometimes if you're using your phone, you can accidentally press the raise hand button, like if your phone's in your purse or it's in your pocket or something. So just be really careful that button isn't pressed accidentally. If you would like to be coached, though, click on raise hand at the bottom of your screen. Once you are selected, your camera and audio will be on and everyone can see you and hear you. So you'll be brought on the screen with me. You may see a message on your screen about starting the audio on your phone or your computer. So just follow the instructions and do what you need to do. And I'm glad to wait for you to get that kind of figured out. If for some reason we still can't hear you, that happens sometimes, then I will take you back down to being just an attendee, and you can kind of work on your settings, your Zoom settings, because sometimes if this is the first time you've done Zoom, you may need to change some of your audio settings on your computer or your phone. So if you do want to be coached, please have good lighting, good internet connection, quiet background as much as possible. I have coached with some kids in the background. That's always fun. And no driving or moving around. So if you've heard Corinne talk about this, she's very motion sick, and I'm not as bad as she is, but I don't like a lot of moving around too. So no driving, just for safety reasons. We don't want y'all getting coached while you're driving. And no moving around, just kind of find a place to prop your phone up or to sit at your computer. Feel free to chat as much as you want in the chat box. Be sure that your chat settings are set to all panelists and attendees. And I need to actually change my setting to all panelists and attendees. That's that little blue oval at the bottom of the chat box. So you want to make sure it says all panelists and attendees. I am what's called a panelist because I am leading the call. The attendees are the rest of you all. So if you want me and everyone else to see your chat, then you need to set it to all panelists and attendees. If you have any questions that you want me to specifically to answer, put those in the Q&A box. So there's the Q&A box down here. If you don't want to come on screen and you wanted me to just answer a question, at some point during the call, I will answer questions. And then... yeah, so don't ask me questions in the chat because I may not see it as we get going. I may not be able to scroll back up and see any questions. So be sure and put those in the Q&A box. Okay, that's all I've got. Let me know if there's anything I missed. Any questions you have, put those in the Q&A about how Zoom works, about anything to do with PNP or anything. So yeah. That thing about the chat with the all panelists and attendees, it's a little tricky. And especially if you're on your phone, it will revert back to all panelists at like after a certain amount of time. Sometimes it's just, it's just kind of a pain, but you just got to make sure that it has all panelists and attendees. Thanks, Gail. I didn't make this scarf. I do crochet. But I didn't make this. I got this as a gift from my godmother, who I love dearly. She gives me the best gifts, but I love this scarf. It's so nice and colorful. So, all right. So whoever else wants to get coached, raise your hand and let's just get a line going. And so then I will tell you all kind of where you are in line. So who we have right now is Jillian, Carolyn, Vanessa, and Azizi in line. But y'all just go ahead and raise your hand and get in line. And I'm going to go through as many people as I can in the next 2 hours. Okay. All right. Let me check this Q&A and just make sure it's not okay. It's an eating question. So I will answer that in a little while. So y'all just keep putting stuff in the Q&A, raising your hand. And oh, good. We got one more person raising their hand. April is after Azizi. So we got a good little line going, but keep just raise your hand and don't think, she has too many people in line. I shouldn't raise my hand. Don't ever think that, y'all, because I will get to a point sometimes and there's no one that's raised their hand. And y'all know you want to take advantage of this time to get coached, right? So take advantage of this if you really want to get coached. But again, if you don't, that's okay too. But for those of y'all kind of on the fence and you're like, well, I kind of want to ask this, that's the other thing. For a lot of you newbies, you may not be ready to get coached yet, but you just have some questions about maybe the realistic plan or something that you've seen in OBS and you want to get on camera with me and ask me questions, that's great too. So, you know, it may not become actual coaching. It may just be answering questions. All right, Jillian, you are up first. Let's do this. Try not to get that ugly vent in the shot.
Unmute. Okay, I unmuted and I'm starting video.
All right.
Hi. Okay. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Good. Am I muted or unmuted?
No, yeah, I can hear you. You're good.
Okay. All right. Yes. So I'm excited to be here.
Are you new?
Well, no, I joined in September.
Okay. All right. Well, you're a toddler, right?
Yes.
We are toddlers.
I am a toddler.
Okay. So what's going on?
Well, I had my very first coaching call on Sunday with Kathy, and she helped me with a model that was so good that I thought, oh my gosh, that was about drinking wine in the evenings.
Okay.
And it helped me so much that I thought, I got to now get coached about my food issue too.
Okay. So, let's do it.
All right. So my thing about food, what I would ultimately like is to be indifferent to food. And I think to feel indifferent about it. And I think that's possible with me because I'm not a foodie. I don't have a varied palate. I was indifferent as a child when I was super skinny. Like, and generally throughout the day, I don't think about it, you know, and if I go to events, food is not a big deal. So I would like to be indifferent. However, I have this one thought about food that is totally opposite from indifference.
Okay.
And that's where my hang up is. And it's usually when I'm eating and I'm alone. So this is what it is. When I am ready to eat, or when I take my first few bites, or if I'm alone and I'm preparing the meal that I'm going to eat, my one thought is, this will never be enough.
Okay.
And so what happens is I sit down and I start eating really quickly because it's never going to be enough. And I know it's going to be enough, but that's my one thought.
Okay. Okay. Let's model this. And for you newbies that are on here, y'all will get to the model. Y'all probably may have heard about the model, you know, throughout your time here, but that is, I think, phase two of No BS. So if you're not there yet, you'll get there and you can just take what you can learn from this call. So, all right, let's do this. So why don't you give me, what do you think the circumstance is?
I think it's actually that I'm hungry. I don't know. It only happens when I have that hunger and I need to fill the hunger. Well, no, it's not hungry because I think that when I eat, when I'm not hungry alone, I think maybe, is it eating alone?
Yeah, I think it is eating and, alone.
Yeah.
It could be like eating comma, you know, and alone, right?
Yep.
You're eating or you're preparing food.
Yes.
Maybe let's get real factual here. Alone preparing food.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay. What's the thought?
This will never be enough.
This will never be enough. And how does that feel?
Desperate.
Desperate. So when you feel desperate, E-R-A-T-E, right? Okay.
That's a hard one. Yeah.
I think so. When you feel desperate, what are you doing or not doing?
I am acting in a way that's panicky. So I eat quickly.
Okay.
I think my thoughts all get lasered in on just eating, just doing what I can do to fill that.
Okay. Like hyper focused.
Yeah. Because if I'm going to have that thought and sit down to eat, I'm not also like reading or watching TV. And I'm also not looking at the food and eating it slowly. Like I'm just sitting down and I am just going to eat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the result.
The result, the immediate result is that I overeat and I feel really full for another hour. But I guess
right, that's in the action. You eat quickly and you overeat. But then the result always goes back up and proves the thought true. So what do you think your result is?
Besides not losing weight as much as I would want? I feel lonely.
If it relates to this will never be enough, then the result is...
It always is enough, though. That's the weird thing is I eat it and it's like, then I overeat my portion and I think that was enough.
But I think for you, it is, it's never enough, but it's what it is, right? It's not the food that's not enough.
And it's not that I'm trying to satisfy my hunger, because there are times if I have an afternoon snack when I'm not even hungry and I still am having that thought.
But it's really the work for you is identifying what this is. It's like, what are you looking for? What are you searching for through food that you're not getting enough of?
Okay, can you tell me that?
No, I'm asking that.
I don't. It only happens when I'm alone. Mm-hmm. How do I find this out?
So, I mean, it's just a matter of kind of asking yourself, I mean, how do you use food, or how have you used food in the past to either cover up emotions or to create emotions?
I don't even know. I do know that the food that I choose to eat when I'm having those thoughts is just very like nutrient dense, plain food, like cheese and crackers or something like a piece of toast with butter all over it, or something that is just like pure immediate comfort in a small package.
Comfort. It's comfort that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, this will never give me enough comfort.
The food won't give me enough comfort.
The food won't give me enough comfort. This will never be enough to get me to where I am comfortable enough.
So do you think then that I'm, now that I'm starting to pay attention to all the thoughts in my head, do you think that maybe I'm acknowledging that I need something else besides the food? Or is it just like, what do I do now?
So, I mean, so I think it's just staying curious, right? Like, okay, maybe, you know, I'm just guessing, right? I mean, I'm just kind of working with you on this, but it's just like, okay, if I think maybe I'm looking for comfort through with food, then where are places in my life where I feel uncomfortable? And, you know, and kind of really focus on being alone. When you feel it, when you are alone, how do you feel? Are you looking for comfort when you're alone? Or are you maybe looking for comfort from the day, or for something from something else that has happened throughout the day?
I think there's another level to that. Mm-hmm. That's probably comfort for something that's going on. But when I'm with other people, I'm so distracted that I don't even have a chance to even acknowledge it.
Yeah. I mean, when you're by yourself and you're not distracting yourself with TV or your phone or anything else, then yeah, all your thoughts, all your feelings are right here. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's all coming at you at once. And so your brain is like, we need comfort now. We are very uncomfortable. We need comfort now. And this will never be enough because you know, it's never been enough in the past. And really, you've probably gotten some comfort, but your brain is always looking for more, right? And your brain is always looking just for excuses to eat more. You know, this primal part of your brain in the back. So it's just like, well, this will never be enough, but let's go ahead and try again and just keep eating. But, you know, it's that this thought is poison, because if it's never going to be enough, then you're just going to keep eating and eating. But then you don't get enough comfort, then you're just going to keep trying again over and over and over again.
Okay. So if I want to do a bunch of models on this, what would I put as my circumstance?
So all this is recording. So I'm going to erase this.
Yeah. And if you give me, I've been getting into the models lately. So if you give me a couple circumstances, I can just do like 50 models on each one.
Okay. So for you, it is identifying when you feel discomfort. So putting discomfort in the feeling line and then working on filling out the rest of it. Like what circumstance is going on when you are feeling discomfort, right? And then of course, what thought is creating that discomfort, because the circumstance is not creating it. So what is an example that you could think of that, when you feel uncomfortable?
I don't even know. And you would think I would know, because it happens often enough that I'm on a coaching call because this is an issue.
Well, and then maybe that's where your work is, right? It's just like, okay, I've got to figure out where it is that I'm uncomfortable. So then I can work on, all right, how can I work on, you know, feeling differently about it?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll take like a week and I'll just notice.
And discomfort is kind of a general term, but it could literally be any kind of, you know, negative emotion that doesn't feel great in your body. So I think for you, it could be anxiety, it could be frustration, it could be sadness, you know, it could be anger. Right? It could be any of those that you're looking for comfort from.
Okay.
So first is to just kind of identifying that. Any circumstances, anything that's happened, but for you, it could just be you being alone, you know, at home. And then you're feeling, I mean, it could be lonely. Right?
Yeah.
And then your action is basically the whole model that we worked before. That's what happens, is that you feel lonely and then you think this will never be enough, you know, as you're cooking, and you go through that model. So this is a little bit more kind of advanced modeling stuff, but it's like you can see that, I mean, there's something that precedes you thinking that, you know, this isn't enough, right? You're feeling some discomfort. You're looking for comfort.
Yep. Okay. So my whole, since the model that I do is always, it is always exactly the same. That's true. I always do that. I prepare the food. I know what I want and I eat it quickly. So I will spend time trying to just notice what happens. And in the moment, like when I start to see that, is there anything I should tell myself or should?
Well, I was just thinking, like, kind of a really good general question that you could ask yourself just even throughout the day, just kind of get your brain working. Like, what does food do for me? Right? Like, what am I looking for in food? And I mean, you say that most of the time it's, what was the word, the feeling you used? Indifferent.
Indifferent, yeah.
Right? But it's just kind of questioning that and saying, am I really indifferent with food? But there is this one time, you know, this one kind of instance where you're not. And so it's, okay, what am I looking for in food that I could get, you know, somewhere else? And I mean, we've discovered it's comfort. But it's just kind of expanding on that and like, okay, what am I really looking for?
Okay.
And just getting your brain to work on that. And then we're kind of jumping around here, but kind of your next step with the other model, I won't write it up here, but your next step with the other model is just to really, you're aware of the thought that you're thinking, right? this will never be enough.
Yep.
And so a really good laddered up thought from that is just, I keep thinking that this will never be enough, and that's okay.
Okay.
I love that thought where it's just, you just add, I keep thinking, and then you add, and that's okay at the end. So it just reminds you that it's just a thought, and then it gives you a little compassion at the end where it's just like, okay, I just keep thinking this. There's nothing wrong with that coming into my brain. It may always come into your brain when you're alone and cooking, but then it kind of opens you up to, but I could just stop the model right there at the thought line and practice a new thought and run the model with that new thought and get a different result.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
We've covered a lot.
We did. And this is helpful.
I want you to watch this back and then, just, you know, kind of get your brain to work on it and see, and then actually put yourself in the situation of being alone and cooking and really just stay curious with where your brain is going, you know, other things that happen throughout the day, how you're feeling, really pay attention to your body. And really just see, because again, I guarantee you, when you put yourself back into that circumstance, it's going to happen again, right? Because that's your habit. And so you want to become a scientist of what's happening in your brain, in your body. And and then when you try to do something different, you know, your brain is going to rebel. And so you want to really be aware of what your brain is, because it's going to throw out every excuse in the book. We've got to keep eating. You know, we got to keep going. We got to go fast to see if maybe. Right.
Or I want to have that when I do choose like a salad for lunch afterwards, I think I don't have that, like, not dead feeling, but you know, like that's so full. I don't have that full feeling. I like the light feeling in the morning. I like the light feeling in the evening after I eat, but it's something about being alone during the day. I just want to shut all that down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because because probably after you eat, what do you have to do?
Then I have to think about how much I ate.
Well, and do you have to go back to work?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, the alternative is, you know, you got to go back to work, right? And so it's like, of course your body, you know, your brain wants to keep eating. That's way more fun than going back to work. So.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just kind of getting, you know, you're on to your brain, right? You just want to kind of just keep working on that and really just questioning everything that you're thinking. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
So go back and watch this again and then get going on that homework for sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
All right, Jillian, I got to take notes. I forgot. All right. So that was a bunch of model work. All right. Let's see. Carolyn, I saw you, I think, in Facebook that you were going to come on here. You tagged me.
Hey. Hello. How are you? Happy New Year.
Good. Yes. Happy New Year. Okay. It was something about cookies, but I didn't get a chance to read everything.
So my toddler brain threw a fit last night.
Okay.
Basically what happened is I'm a June baby, so I'm starting to add more exercise in.
Okay.
I bought a
Peloton. And I love hearing that. I love hearing that, right? You're just starting to add in exercise 6-7 months into the process, right?
Yes.
It's not required for weight loss, right?
Nope. I lost 38 pounds without it. So if anything.
Okay. Love it. Love it. Okay.
So I've been watching everybody get Pelotons for a while, and I decided to invest in one. So I bought one in October.
Mm-hmm.
And it had kind of a grinding noise. I called service. They came out. They said, oh, it's fine. Da, da, da. I called them again. They go, oh, you have a belt problem. And my brain just exploded. It was like, what? Like, all, like, the superlatives were flying. Like, I knew there was a problem. Now they, and then they said they couldn't do the service for 3 weeks. And it was just like, what? Guys, come on. Do better. And the brain started screaming for cookies.
Okay.
Like, just hollering.
I'm going to do another model here. So belt broke.
on the Peloton. Okay. Why? So what was your brain telling you, right? That led you to want cookies?
I think it was more, I watched it. So I actually didn't eat the cookies. I watched it. I closed the kitchen. I went upstairs and TVL.
You didn't eat the cookies.
I did not eat the cookies.
Okay.
As I watched the brain, I was just like, oh, we can't exercise now. We're going to lose progress. We're going to not lose as much weight. And it was just like, I know it's all hunger scale, but the brain was just spiraling out of control on that one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It was probably some thought like, and this is a thought I have a lot of times where it's like, I had this all figured out, right? I had this all planned. And now look, right? It's like the universe is against me. I'm doing this good thing for myself and, you know, something is against me or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, I think the most interesting thought I had was, I'm 4 miles deep on this one. And one of the ones came up to the action line was, okay, we can try other forms of exercise, maybe weightlifting or yoga. And then the brain started creeping in again going, but you hurt your back doing that before. Is it really worth trying again? So I'm trying to figure out if that was fat girl thinking or fear, or I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know how to keep moving forward.
Okay, so it sounds like you didn't eat the cookies.
Nope.
But let's do that first and then we'll go to the other question. So you didn't eat the cookies. So what was the thought and feeling here that led you to not eat the cookies?
Well, cookies won't fix the belt.
Cookies won't fix the belt. Okay.
Yeah, cookies won't get me to my goal. It's not so. My intentional thought all week has been, or my powerful question has been, how can I honor my goals more?
Okay.
So that cookies won't honor your goals. I kind of kept spinning on that one.
Okay. And so, how did that feel?
It
led you to not eat the cookies.
It felt good. Slight resistance. I think the biggest part was removing myself out of the kitchen. Like I told my husband, I'm like, I'm not doing the dishes. You got to do the dishes. I got to get out of the kitchen.
Leave the kitchen, right? But I think it's important for especially our newbies to realize that like this wasn't an amazing feeling here, right?
No, not at all.
You were like, you said kind of slight resistance still, but then also some...
We're teetering on acceptance and proud at the same time.
Yeah, kind of a mix of all of these together, right? Just kind of almost even kind of resigned. Okay, the cookies are not going to fix the Peloton. So a little bit of proud too, right? As you were probably leaving the kitchen and after you told your husband, you know, I'm done here. No washing the dishes. Yeah. You probably kind of moved more into proud. So,
yeah.
And so you didn't eat the cookies. So you proved to yourself that, cookies don't fix the Peloton.
Exactly.
Okay. So this was your model then, but then you said your mind was kind of going to, kind of through this, after this model, your brain kind of went to, okay, let's work on some other solutions.
Yeah.
That, you know, for the next 3 weeks until this thing gets fixed. And you came up with some other things. And then what was it saying?
It started off as in you're gonna lose momentum or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, well, we can do other exercises. Mm-hmm. We can try yoga or start lifting weights because I saw a picture of Corinne this past week with her shoulders. She was just like all, I'm like, damn, I want shoulders like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then thoughts started creeping in saying, well, every time you lift weights or do yoga, you hurt your back and you're out of commission for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I don't know how to balance that. I don't know if it's a fact. It's happened before, but I don't know if being 40 pounds lighter now has changed it. I don't know how to balance
that. That's your brain throwing up more excuses to just not exercise. To kind of go back to the unintentional model where it's like, well, we weren't supposed to do this anyway. You know, well, this is a sign. We're not supposed to be doing this. And so that's your brain kind of throwing up more evidence for that thought.
Yeah.
Of, we'll just wait until the Peloton comes. We can just, because your brain is always looking to just go back to the way it was, right? To go back and just do the same old thing.
And that's kind of why I tagged you. I'm like, this needs some work.
Yeah. And I think for you, it's just, and it's great because you're already questioning that thought, right? You're not just accepting it and saying, oh yeah, you're right, I shouldn't lift weights or do yoga or anything. It's, you're questioning it and saying, well, is that really true? Or is that just, that's maybe the past experience I had, but that doesn't mean now that I'm, lost all this weight that that's going to happen again, or just, it's a different time. It's not necessarily happen again. So I think you work towards proving your brain wrong. And, and it's some sort of thought like, we're just gonna see how this goes. We're just going to experiment. We're just going to explore exercise. And that was what you did with the Peloton, right? It's just, you're just exploring things. And so you could think of this as an amazing opportunity to try something else new for the next 3 weeks.
That's where I was trying to get to, but the fear is still lingering in my brain. It's like, I don't want to go back to that pain that I had when I out last time.
Okay.
And literally I threw it out lifting, doing 10 pound squats and 10 pound deadlifts and 10 pound like curls. Mm-hmm. So I don't quite know how to do that lighter or more gentle, but it's just screaming, don't get hurt again. Cause I couldn't walk for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Or I was in almost like a 45 degree angle. It was not pleasant.
Well, what you could start with, and this is in the action line. Well, we're doing the unintentional model first, right? Yeah. Fear, and then basically you just kind of shut it down and don't do anything, right, for the next 3 weeks. And then you basically hurt yourself by not doing anything.
Correct.
So that's that model. But then, I'm just kind of writing this out, just, kind of for everybody to see. And then, but now you're working on this intentional model to kind of do something different. And so, anytime you feel fear, you want to examine it, right? Because, we don't ever want to live in fear of anything. And it's just kind of going to that place and saying, okay, what's the worst that could happen? What's happened in the past? What's the worst that could happen? But, what's the likelihood, right, of that happening again? Just kind of, you got to let yourself go there and really explore that fear. I kind of call it like, go look under the bed and see what's under. Usually there's just a couple of dust bunnies is what I like to say. There's not a whole lot under there usually. So for you, Nick, it's possible that you could get hurt again. But, there's definitely the options of just body weight kind of exercises, right?
Again, so I've thrown it also out doing yoga. So that's also what is perplexing to me is I don't quite know how it happens. Mm-hmm. I've done it with weights. I've done it with yoga. I've done it with Pilates. So it's kind of just like, I keep walking the dog, which is what I was going to do no matter what.
Yeah.
But it was kind of just like, I felt like I had lost momentum and I was irritated, like really irritated.
What do you think is the solution to not living in fear anymore?
I plan to ask my chiropractor again on Friday what he thinks about adding weights back in or any kind of movement like that. But it didn't feel great.
Why not?
Because he has the same fear I am because he's had to put me back together twice now after I've thrown it out with yoga and weights, and it's quite an ordeal. So he's like, no. At least last time I asked, which was like 2 months ago. Yeah, no weights. Go bike. Go do something else.
Okay.
Which is how we ended up on the Peloton.
Mm-hmm. But but you could just as easily get injured on the Peloton, right?
Yes.
Not like there's anything special about the Peloton that is, yes, it's different exercises and using different muscles and stuff like that. But again, it's just like, it's just kind of getting your brain to work on like, how can I don't want to live in fear of this. Maybe I choose not to do it, but it's not from a place of fear. It's from a place of, okay, this isn't what's best for my body right now, or some sort of thought like that. Right?
That's a good thought.
Yeah.
So again, I was just trying to figure out, is this fat girl thinking, or is it something like I should listen to, like listen to your body? Because Corinne had talked about like the heartburn she gets or the rosacea she gets after red wine that I heard this morning, no BS. Like I couldn't figure out the difference. If this was toddler brain or listening to the body.
She has experienced the rosacea enough times where she knows for sure, like, you know, biologically that it doesn't agree with her, right? I mean, you have gotten injured one time, right?
Twice.
Okay, I'll give you twice. So it's just, it could be just a coincidence, right? That you did two different things and you just got hurt, right? I mean, it's just, it's really thinking about, you know, your brain is going to argue with you. So it's just kind of like having that conversation in your brain and say, okay, how could I think differently about this so that I'm not living in fear? And you may want to start with the feeling line, like, and maybe talking to the chiropractor isn't the best action.
I'm trying to find outside advice outside of my own brain to see if maybe losing weight has helped or not. I don't know. Yeah. I'm hoping that the whole point of losing weight is to decompress my spine.
Okay. So we're going to kind of expand the circumstance line a little bit to, okay, you're exploring other exercise while the belt is broken. So how do you want to feel? Let's start with the feeling line.
So I want to feel like I'm still making progress, which I know I can do if I listen to the hunger scale, but I guess I enjoyed the outlet of the movement. It was a stress relief. I was enjoying it. I was having fun. And I don't quite see that with activity anymore. I mean, like walking my dog is fun, but that's so routine. The Peloton was different every time. So it was almost entertainment. It was enjoyable.
Okay. So you want to feel entertained.
It was nice to be able to watch my goals in the Peloton. So like I could see myself getting better. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to quantify that on a walk or something like that. Mm-hmm. So okay. I guess I'm looking for a way to quantify my progress.
Right. Okay, we'll think about that for a second. What about just curious?
Yeah, that's a good word.
About exploring. And I mean, I'm just going to say, I'm going to be real vague about your action line, where you're just exploring other options.
Yeah.
Get more specific, but I mean, that's just kind of what we're talking about here, is that you're exploring. So to feel curious and to find something, you know, that you feel entertained by, how do you need to think about it?
That's where I got stuck. That was kind of where my last model went and I got stuck.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'd said earlier something about, or maybe something like, I want to do what's best for my body.
Yeah. And that's where I'm kind of stuck. I bought the Peloton and I decreased walking my dog because I also have really bad plantar fasciitis on one foot. Mm-hmm. So I feel kind of boxed in. So I can't do their other workouts on their platform either. Mm-hmm. And walking is very limited. Cause I don't want to reinflame the tissue because it's almost healed. So I'm feeling a little boxed.
They do have yoga stuff on that app.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, so that's, you know, app. Right. Just, you know, maybe, talk to other people. Right.
Yeah.
And just kind of brainstorm. And let's again, go back to the thought. I mean, what do you need to kind of think about to be curious and to do something that is going to be different than just walking the dog?
I'm leaning towards any movement is better than no movement, but okay. It doesn't feel fantastic.
Okay. Let's see. I'm just like, it could just be, I mean, I'm working on figuring this out.
Yeah.
Something like that, where it's not even specific to the exercise,
but just something to kind of, because again, we're just talking in the action line. We're not even talking about like deciding on something. We're just talking about kind of opening up your mind to other options right yeah. now. So I'm working on, but I want you to, you know, continue work, you know, thinking about other thoughts too that might help you. I'm working on figuring this out. So does that lead to a feeling of curious?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it might be entertained. Entertained maybe.
That might be more of an action.
Yeah, I think that's more of an action. Let's just stay with curious here. So, and then, well, where'd it go? And really the result is I just work on figuring this out. Because again, I think for you, it's just, you know, to go from like fear to, oh yeah, this is great, let's do this tomorrow, you know, is a process.
I right? might need some ladders.
Some what?
Might need some ladders.
Yeah, some ladder thoughts, right? I mean, right now it's curious, you know, it's, this is your ladder thought, and then your feeling is curious, right? You're not going to be move immediately from fear to, you know, excitement and commitment and all that kind of stuff, right? It's just you're moving into that curious phase where it's just, okay, I'm feeling curious. I'm going to just see what else they got on the app, or maybe, you know, talk to other people, post in the tribe and see what ideas other people have. Just work on brainstorming and all that kind of stuff. And then that's just kind of where you are right now.
Okay.
I work on figuring this out. But all of this to say, I mean, it's, I love it because like that belt was absolutely supposed to break, right?
Yes, it was.
For you to figure out all this stuff and really kind of come back around to that fear that you've been feeling for a while and to kind of face it.
Yeah.
Face it and deal with it and really decide from an intentional place how you want to feel about your body, about, because, you know, it's all connected, right? Everything is connected. And it's, I mean, it's ultimately comes down to trusting your body. You know, that's what a lot of this is about.
And I think that's where I struggle is I can't always tell the difference between pain, you're hurting yourself, and pain, you're doing a good workout.
Right.
That's where I'm having a hard time deciphering when it comes to my lower back.
Right.
Because like I'll feel sore of the deadlift and I'm like, and then all of a sudden the next day it's like, oh, I can't move.
Right. Right. And so this is your opportunity to kind of explore some of that and, you know, maybe get in touch with a different doctor, a different chiropractor, whatever it is. Right. You know, someone.
Yeah.
And you can ask those kind of questions too. I'm working right now with an online personal trainer that we work through this app, and like I can send him video messages. He can send me messages and I can ask him all those kind of questions. And so, you know, there's a million resources out there, right? But it's just ultimately it's about, even when you don't have all of these other people, it's a matter of, okay, I know what's best for my body. Whatever happens, I'll be okay. I'll figure it out.
Yep.
You know, it really comes back to, you know, a thought like this, where it's just like, okay, I'll figure it out, whatever happens, but I'm not going to live in fear for the rest of my life. And
that's a good,
trusting my body.
That's a good power thought, Betsy. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. See ya.
See ya.
Bye. All right. Oh my gosh, y'all, the time always goes by so quick. All right, Vanessa, we have Vanessa, Azizi, and April up. Vanessa, put this down.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you. So, you look familiar, but are you new?
I've been in the tribe since April.
Okay. So you're not, then I'm not crazy.
No.
Familiar. So, but you know, there's only a few thousand to know.
Yeah, I know. Right.
And then again, everybody looks familiar to me. So
not a problem.
Okay. So what's going on?
So I, have decided in 2020, one of my goals is that every month I'm going to get coached.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So it's for a couple reasons. One is because I'm paying the money.
Yes.
And I might as well get your guys' expertise. And the other one is, you know, I've listened to enough of these coaching calls that no matter what the question is, they turn into some revelation occurs. Right. That is helpful in the journey. So I was like, you know what? I want to add to my journey in that way. So, so today a question that has come up, in the last 8 months is regarding the 1% level ups.
Okay.
So when I get stuck in them because I just don't know where to level up, right? Following the basics, doing the things, you know, the quality of my food is there, you know. So how do you handle the, you know, because the question comes up every week, right? You're doing the weekly, you know, summary, you know, plan. Mm-hmm. And it always comes up and I'm like stuck.
So, well, first off,
how do you answer that question?
Are you losing weight?
Yes.
So first off, you know, there may not be a place with your food that you need to level up right now with your food.
Okay.
Right? You are doing all the four basics consistently. Is there anything in your, I mean, you're doing everything 100%?
No. I mean, right this past month, I mean, December was a struggle. But, you know, so I'm, you know, starting January and it's just not right now is not a time when I'm struggling with coming up with a 1% level up.
Okay.
But it has been a trend. There have been months where, you know, I've had consistent 3 months in a row, you know, 97-95% on my basic, you know, doing the habit trackers. You know, it's things are really going, weight's coming off. And I'm like, where do I 1% level up?
Okay.
And so I was just wondering, how do you guys handle that when it's not an obvious, you know what I mean? Like,
so you look at that, if you're 95%, what's going on in that 5% that you could level up on?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, and I'm not saying you have to be 100% to lose weight, right? You're at not, you know, you're at, and you can all be a lot lower percentage.
Right. Right.
But I mean, that's one idea, right? You look at that 5%, what's going on.
Okay.
And, you know, when it comes to the four basics, you just, you know, at the end of the month, you say, you know, and you're answering that 1% question, it's reviewing that habit tracker and saying, okay, where am I not 100% and what's going on there and what is something I could level up on there? So that's kind of the easiest answer. But then if you've really kind of exhausted, but really, unless you're 100% on everything, there's always something there to level up on. Right.
I mean,
you're not getting your water in every day, you know, absolutely 100%, then your 1% level up is like, okay, I get my water in every single day next month. That's my level up for that month. And so again, it's like, there's always something there to improve a little bit on. But then beyond that, you can start to look at, you know, your thought work, right? Like, are you doing, you know, models? Are you doing thought downloads? Are you, you know, are you consistently just really thinking about what you're thinking about and think, you know, or are you, you know, a 1% level up would be, okay, I'm going to review No BS this next month and do 5 of the worksheets or something like that. You know, or do one worksheet a week, maybe, you know, it's just kind of opening your mind up to, you know, the 1% thing is really not a, you know, mathematical thing. It is
just
a small improvement. And so if you think about kind of what you've been doing, like, okay, just how could I do a little bit more next month. And so you could do that again in your, in the four basics, but also with something else that you're doing with P&P. So what kind of comes up when I say that?
Well, I mean, that was kind of, you know, I'm trying to think of level ups that aren't basics focused, because I feel like it gets a little repetitive in the weekly assessment and the weekly plan, because, you know, where it says, what are you going to keep, improve, start, stop, you know, all that stuff. And then, so I get to the level up and I really kind of want to stay away from the basics, because I put the basic, all the stuff I'm going to improve on that page.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but then I'm like, this is dumb that I can't think of something to, you know, to like improve on, you know, because obviously there's always something.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot of models. I do a lot of quote unquote thought downloads. I mean, I journal, writing about my day, those kinds of things, but I don't do models unless there's something that I'm really stuck on. Like recently, I worked through one with somebody in my accountability group on sleep, because I was really being a 3-year-old about it. So,
you don't always have to do an unintentional and an intentional model. That you can just do an intentional model. So this is your homework for...
Oh, like, what do you mean? Like how?
So you can do, so, you know, in the little thing down here, right?
Right.
You can just not even, I've actually had one of my clients doing this where it's like you scratch out the unintentional and you come up with something that's working for you, right? A lot is working for you right now. You're doing all...
So what's the advantage of doing that intentional model?
Remind yourself what thoughts are working for you. Right? You reinforce the thinking that is working for you. Because if you're, I mean, you are on it, right? I mean, you are doing these basics like a freaking rock star. But why, right? What are you thinking that's leading you to make these choices every day? And so I want you to do an intentional, only an intentional model. What is working for you?
Huh.
Every day? Do one every day?
Yeah, that would be good for me because I really suck at encouragement.
There we go.
I'm not good at being my own cheerleader.
It's a pretty amazing exercise because it kind of reminds you how awesome you are already.
Wow, yeah, that would be good for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't do models when something's going wrong or when something is bad. You do.
So a circumstance would be like, followed my plan today.
Well, a circumstance.
No, that's not proof.
The action would be followed my plan.
Yeah.
So what thought and feeling led you to follow? So your circumstance could just be like today. It could just be today's date.
Okay.
You know, it could just be like basically your plan today.
Okay.
Is okay. The circumstance. What thought and feeling led you to follow, you know, to rock that plan today?
And so, oh my gosh, that's going to be hard.
No, it's not, because it's going to get you going. It's going to be different, right? Because it's going to get you going on throughout the day. You've really got to pay attention.
Yeah.
What you're thinking.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But it's going to be amazing, an amazing learning experience for you to, I mean, you'll have this data to go back to and look at all these thoughts and feelings that are working for you and getting you the results.
Wow, that's really cool. And I won't be wasting paper anymore because I turn the page on that journal every day. I'm like, oh. This whole page, I'm not using.
You're gonna get so good at it, I know, that you're gonna go back to the pages that you didn't fill out from like 3 weeks ago, and you're just gonna be doing intentional models like a freaking rock star. You're not out of room to do it. You're just gonna scratch out unintentional and put intentional, and you're gonna use that other side of the model too.
Wow. Yeah, so, that'll really be helpful. And that'll be good too. Like as I'm going throughout the day, trying, as you said, trying to think of those thoughts, you know, causing the, you know, and that should help me with all the criticism that I,
right.
Yeah, because I'm super critical.
And then these, I mean, well, you could put that in the unintentional though, right?
I yeah.
And you can still do some unintentionals too. But, and so you want to, you know, you definitely want to document those thoughts. But also, I mean, just becoming more aware of these thoughts that are working for you, then you can apply those thoughts to other areas, you know, where you still have some work to do.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, it'll be an amazing just kind of study of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
On the positive side, right? I mean, a lot of times we like to focus on the negative and what we need to quote unquote fix.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We could actually spend some time celebrating ourselves and what is actually working.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we ask, what's one thing that went right today on the planner?
Right, 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 right.
I want you to focus on that as well.
Well, and it also may help me to figure out, because one of the things that I question is whether my, because I'm, you know, I'm a rule follower. Mm-hmm. So I question whether I'm doing all these things and ticking off these lists and to make sure that I get the A at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So someday that will break. So I always wonder, like, how much of it really is my compelling reason and my internal motivation, and how much of it, which there's, it's great to have a mix, because you have the day, you have those days when you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, doing that intentional model may help me, as I'm thinking about it, come up with if my thoughts really are in the right place.
Right. And then yeah. It's like, okay, like you said, I mean, I love your, you know, you're onto yourself, right? You're honest about, okay, it's not going to be as exciting to just check all these boxes off eventually, right?
Right.
I'm going to need mm-hmm. new reasons. It's going to, you know, you're going to move into a new stage where it's just going to be kind of boring and mundane and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of stuff. Yeah. And you're going to want to be finding new reasons, new thoughts to practice during that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it'll be amazing. All right. I want you to.
Okay.
Get to work.
Okay.
Tag me or come back on here and let me know how it goes. I'll be fascinated to hear how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
And post and ask coaches. I mean, if you get stuck or if you have a question about a model or something,
okay.
Coaches too.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Right. See ya.
Okay. Bye.
All right. That was a good one. Okay. Azizi. And then we have April and Megan. And then Jane. Are you there?
There you are.
Hi. Sorry, I'm in my car.
Oh, that's all right. That's right. As long as you're not moving, then we're good.
No. I'm parked.
All right. What's up? Welcome.
Thank you. I feel kind of silly calling just because I feel like everyone else has, you know, something that's like a bigger deal.
Okay. That's what absolutely everyone thinks when the first time they call or the first time they call, or that's the reason that they don't raise their hand is because they think, oh, my problems aren't as important as everyone else, or my problem is unique. You know, no one else will have this question. And I swear, I want everyone in the chat, once you ask your thing, I want everyone in the chat to tell you how many, you know, they probably have that same question too. So yeah,
okay.
Don't worry about that. Don't let that keep you from reaching out, you know, in Facebook and ask coaches on here, because I mean, if everyone thought that, you know, I wouldn't have a job. So
I guess that's true.
Okay.
So it's kind of like thoughts, I guess. And a question. Okay. So, well, I'll just be honest.
Okay.
So I had joined back in September as a birthday present to myself. But then after maybe like a week, I got so freaked out about it that I quit.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I'm just going to, well, because I had been doing Weight Watchers and I don't know, you might have seen some of my like ass coaches, because I've done Weight Watchers on and off since I was 17 and now I'm 34.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a security blanket, if you will.
Okay.
So I think I was just too freaked out to try anything new. Mm-hmm. Now that I've joined, I'm very excited. I deleted my Weight Watchers app, but I still have this fear, and it might be irrational, but it's like, I have an accountability group, and I even told them today before lunch that I was like afraid to eat because I'm afraid that I'm going to gain all this weight since I'm not like tracking what I'm eating, if that makes any sense. Yeah. Like, I don't trust my own body. I'll just say it. I don't trust myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really what's going on here. And you may not be too familiar with the model yet, but I'm just going to, you join PNP. That's the circumstance. And I don't trust my body is your thought.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, oh my gosh, the number of times I've answered this question and asked coaches on coaching calls, this is very, very common, especially, if it's not Weight Watchers, it's just counting calories. You know, people are hesitant to, let go of their calorie counting app. And so they're still counting calories while they're, trying to do, our program as well. So,
yeah.
So common. So fear, right? You're living in fear. So when you're living in fear, what are you doing? So you're not eating?
Oh, no, I ate, but it's like, so I've been listening to No BS today, mm-hmm. and I feel like I'll eat things that I feel like I should be eating. So I had a salad for lunch. I love salad, but I also had bread with it. And the whole time I was eating the bread, I was kind of freaking out and thinking, oh my God, maybe I'm already at my plus two. Oh my God, I shouldn't be eating this bread. It's like 280 calories. It's like 8 Weight Watchers points. So just losing it.
Yeah.
But oh yeah, I'm eating for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But while you're eating, you're questioning it nonstop.
Yeah.
You're just going back and forth about, calories and points and all of that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
So that's, totally normal. Totally normal with our program because it's different, right? I mean, our program is different than most of the time. It's different than anyone has ever done. I mean, I've been with doctors for years and so it's just totally normal. And then your results, just to finish out the model and then we'll talk more, but you just continue not trusting your body, right?
Yeah.
Nothing really changes. And so it's just a cycle that goes around and around.
Yeah.
So kind of the way that, that we, kind of work on this is to work on your thoughts about it. Right.
Okay.
But I think for you, I mean, since you are so new and we're, you're not really into the thought work quite yet, I don't want to get too much into that today, but I think for you, it is really just the solution is to just get into action and to just keep proving your brain wrong that you can't, that you can't trust your body, right?
Okay.
It's just a thought like, I'm working on trusting my body. And then you continue to listen to your body, right? Practice listening. And all of the four basics are a practice. They are a practice. I'm at this 4, 5, 6 years. Okay. It is always going to be a practice. It is never going to be 100% figured out. It is always going to be an intentional, conscious decision-making process. Now, it does get easier and it does get less tiring after a while. I mean, there's a common phase that you go through at first where you're just exhausted because you're constantly thinking about food and what you're thinking about and all this kind of stuff, right? And that's all totally normal and common. And so, but for you, it's just really focusing on this action line. That's what we call it, the newsletter, the massive action line. Because it's just, okay, I know that I keep thinking that I'm should be, counting points or I can't trust my body, but I'm just going to do something different anyway. I'm going to feel the fear and I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
I'm going to do something different, anyway. Right.
Yeah.
And I think for you, and then, you can definitely work on your thoughts and stuff when you get to that point.
But I just think it's continuing to just do, you know, to do different.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that, do you think that you can do that? Is that doable for you?
I think so. I mean, I have been doing the plan for like a couple months, like in terms of 24-hour planning, just to wrap my brain around it. And I feel fine with that, like following it for the, well, to be honest, I don't follow it all the time. I had wine last night.
Yeah, you're practicing following it.
Practicing it.
Yes.
But I think it's just like the hunger scale that trips me up. And, you know, I listen to what Corinne says and what you guys say about, you know, sometimes you've had like these diets that you've been on where you've been taught not to trust your body and to like starve your body. And so I think that's just the hard part for me. Cause even if I feel like I'm getting hungry, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I should eat or if I should eat this.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know.
It's just recognizing that all of that, those thoughts are just normal, right? Because you're doing something new, right? New now.
Yeah.
And it's just, okay, I'm going to have all of these questions and these thoughts because, you know, you just don't immediately go from doing one thing to doing a new thing, you know, easily. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's just staying really curious with yourself and saying, okay, I know I'm thinking that. I know I'm feeling some fear right now about making a different choice, but what I did in the past didn't work or I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Right. Corinne talks about that, right? You wouldn't be here if what happened in the past, you know, holding on to that, what you did in the past, that didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so thinking about it,
that did at time, but I never hit my goal rate.
But it didn't work long term, right? And we're about, I think most of us are about long term weight loss around here.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, okay, why am I holding on to this when it didn't ever work? When it didn't ever work?
Yeah. That's a good thought.
And we're holding on to it because it's just what we're familiar with, it's just what our
body
is used to. And so that's why, I mean, that's the easy, and that's just the, you know, the quick answer to that. But it's saying, okay, maybe there's another solution. Maybe there's something else out there.
Yeah.
And the good news is that you have thousands of members of the tribe. You have that, you have them as evidence that this does work. Right.
Yeah.
And that doing something new can work. Over time, maybe not as quickly as, you know, as we want it to, or maybe, you know, maybe not quite as easily as we want it to, but it does work and it's sustainable for the rest of your life, right? We always talk about losing it the way you're going to live it. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think it's hard too, because I just have a lot of that all or nothing thinking that I'm trying to get away from, because I know it's not black and white, but for whatever reason, in my mind, I'm like, I'm here. It's my first week. I should know the 24-hour plan. I should know my hunger scale. All of it.
Watch all those shoulds, right?
We shoulding all over myself.
Shoulding all over yourself. You already know that phrase. So watch for that should word. And I did a call. Gosh, it's probably been over a year ago now, where I talked about weight loss happens in the gray areas. It doesn't happen in the black. It doesn't happen in the white. You know.
Yeah.
About black and white thinking or all or nothing thinking.
Yeah.
The way that we do weight loss here is, you know, is in this gray area, and it's, you know, it's a messy process sometimes, and you are going to question yourself and you are going to make mistakes, and all of that is part of the process. And that's where weight loss happens. And so it just takes a little, you know, a little getting used to, and like you said, you're a week in. So you're already starting to kind of question all this, which is amazing. Right. But for you, I want you to just, you know, do some of that questioning, but don't focus so much on that. Just get into that action of, okay, all I have to do are these four basics, and just press play on another no BS lesson.
And okay.
Move forward. Yeah. But you're
so don't make it so hard, basically.
Don't make it so hard. Exactly. We're not about hard around here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the four basics are pretty easy. You know,
yeah, that's true.
Pretty easy to you know, to understand, and so, let's not complicate it more than we need.
Okay,
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Good call. All right. Welcome. And yeah, thank come you. Back on anytime.
Okay. Have a okay. great night.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Let's see. All right, Jane. Anybody else who wants to? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. No, April is next. April, Megan, and Jane. All right. I had it scrolled up. I'm glad I didn't. April. Are you there?
I am. It like made me rejoin. Hang on.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. Good, good. So my lighting is horrible. So I'm super new.
Okay.
Like a few days and okay. I'm already having issues. I have all this noise in my head.
Okay. Totally normal. So, totally normal. So, okay. What's going on?
So one of my issues is like exactly what Zizi was saying, but the completely the opposite. So okay. I think, oh, I can eat all this stuff now because there's no restrictions. So, you know, I was keto for a long time, had felt great on it, had no weight loss, like just total jealousy of everyone else that gets on keto and loses 40 pounds overnight. But so now I feel like I'm eating stuff that I shouldn't be eating, and I can plan like a mother and I'm not following it. So I do my 24-hour plans and I just totally self-sabotage and just don't eat anything that I put on my plan.
Okay. So what do you think the solution is to this?
I want to say willpower, but I know that's not the right answer.
Nope. Corinne has an amazing podcast. It's the public podcast that she did on willpower. Nope.
I think
willpower,
I listened to that one. Yeah,
willpower is, we don't use willpower around here. Nope.
So I don't know. I mean, I plan it. I want it. I get like today, I knew exactly what I put down that I was going to eat and I didn't eat any of it. I did try it. I didn't like it. So it ended up, you know, being something that wasn't on plan. I don't know. And I've done this. I've done this with keto and I've had a health coach and I've tried everything.
So what would you say, since you're new, I'm going to help you out. So what would you say if I told you that you need to plan all the stuff that you really want to eat?
I would be scared shitless.
Would you say if I told you that that was required for you to figure this out and lose weight with this program?
That it was required?
Required.
I just see like this black hole of just no self-control and just up 50 pounds.
That's one option, right?
Yeah.
That's one option. What's another option?
That I wouldn't want to eat all that stuff?
You might not want to eat all that stuff.
Yeah.
But let's say you want to eat all that stuff for a little while. I'll give you 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say you want to eat all that stuff for 2 weeks, how much weight you think you might gain in a couple weeks? If you plan whatever you want and all you got to do is just follow that plan and you put everything you would ever want to eat, two weeks.
I tried that once, you know, eat what I want. Don't have any guilt around it. Don't have any shame. Mm-hmm. I didn't stop. So, mm-hmm. I mean, 10, 15 pounds.
Yeah, maybe. Right.
Yeah.
But there's also a chance. Well, first off, I'll say, okay, you tried it, but that doesn't mean you can't try it again.
Yeah.
Right. Just because it didn't work one time doesn't mean that you might not do something different this time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got this amazing community around to help you. And if you reach out like you did tonight. But here's the thing. Okay, you might gain 10, 15 pounds, but you also like 4 or 5 days in, you might be like, gosh, I feel like crap eating all this stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to just level up a little bit. And all this stuff that I've been putting on my plan that maybe I haven't been eating and haven't been wanting, I may take a little bit, I may just leave it on, but then I might make a different choice tomorrow, right? A little bit leveled up choice.
Yeah.
Then the next day it might be like, gosh, I feel better just having that, you know, just not eating that, whatever it was. Or maybe, you know, a week later, you might say, gosh, I leveled up that one little thing. I could probably level up something else. I could probably, you know, just stop eating at dinner and not have that, you know, that evening snack I always have. Or maybe it just might be, I might have just a little bit healthier evening snack and not have the, you know, the dessert I always have. I might just have some fruit or something, or I might just have a little bit less amount than I normally have, right? I mean, there's just all kinds of ways you can just slowly level up. But yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. I feel like I've wasted so much time trying all these things. Like I don't, you know what I mean? Like I don't, and then I make one bad choice. And then, so if I did that plan, mm-hmm, I would live in a state of guilt and shame.
Well, and that's because of what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Right. You're thinking it won't work. I've tried it before. I've done it so many times, right? You've got to get in check with all those thoughts where it's just like, and I know you're new and we're not doing too much thought work yet.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just recognizing like it's not because you tried it before and it didn't work, right? It's because you keep thinking, well, it's not going to work. It's, you know, and ultimately it's a thought like, I'll never figure this out and I'll always be overweight. Right. Yeah.
So what do I do?
So it's kind of like I was telling Azizi, where it's really focusing on those actions of like, okay. And I was telling somebody else earlier, I keep thinking that this will never work. Right. I keep thinking that I'm never going to lose this weight, and that's okay. Like I keep thinking that, but I'm still going to follow this realistic plan today. And I think, and for you, I definitely think it's going back to, if you haven't done the compelling reason work yet, you know, definitely continue with no BS too, yeah, where, you know, 'cause you're eventually going to get to that thought work. You just keep going, keep pressing play. But for you, it's just, okay, why do I want to do something different this time? Right? It hasn't worked before, but that's the past. That's in the past now. And and I hear you, you're fighting with the past.
Yeah. Right?
You're wanting the past to be different. Mm-hmm. We always say, if you fight with the past, you're going to lose every time, because the past is, it's what is now, right? It's the facts. It's just the facts now. It's the circumstance now.
Yeah.
And so, okay, what if everything that happened in the past led you up to right now, here where you are today? And it's not a what if, it is, right? I mean, something brought you here to PNP, to you raising your hand and talking to me right at this moment.
Yeah.
And this is exactly where you need to be. This is exactly when you weren't ready, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 3 years ago or 6 months ago. You weren't ready to do the work yet. Now you're ready. And so all of this was leading up to this moment, and it's just waiting for you. It's waiting for you to, you know, you have this amazing program, you have this amazing support, and your future self, I've got chills now. Whew. Your future self is waiting for you to take action. Right. Yeah. And it's just being okay. Like when you take action, you're still going to feel doubt, right? You're still going to feel shame. You're still going to feel all of that stuff. And it's being okay with feeling all that stuff, but then following that very realistic plan anyway. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So I want you to go back and listen to this call again. And the fact that I'm like when you cried, I'm like, yes, we hit on something.
Yeah.
You'll find that as you listen to me, I have declared 2020 the year of me crying more, because I do not cry. I'm jealous when people cry, because that is you like feeling your feelings, right? That is you really processing your emotion and not eating or drinking or whatever else it is to cover it up, right? You are feeling your feels. And that is what is so important in this journey, because if you hold it in, then you're just eventually gonna snap and you know, go down the wrong road. So you're doing the work. You're just ready for that, to take that action with that very realistic plan.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. I'm going to see how many folks I can get through. We got about 30 more minutes. All right. Megan, Jane, Christy, and Amber. I got some questions too. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. There you are. Yes.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. So I'm Megan.
Yeah.
I am calling because I kind of had a thought today. I was on Marco Polo with my accountability group. And I'm going to get emotional.
Got another crier. Good. Let it out.
Yeah. And I was saying how, I've struggled with weight for a long time. And this summer, we have a trip planned with my husband's two of his siblings. And I was saying how I was already feeling anxiety or stress about going, because I'd physically feel uncomfortable. It's a beach trip. My two sister-in-laws are both thin, they wear bikinis. and I'm, not anywhere near that, that's not my expectation. But I guess I'm like, no, I'm afraid. I joined PMP back in April, and I haven't been successful. Mm-hmm. I'm up 10 pounds, I'm back down 10 pounds. I keep playing in that same 10-pound range. Mm-hmm. And
why?
And I know what it is. I'm not doing the four basics. I'm not tracking my data.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I mean, it can feel like you're doing it.
Yeah.
But then you look and you're like, Megan, what do you expect? You're not doing the work.
That darn tracker will give you the honest truth every single time.
It does. It's like, I go strong for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and then I fizzle out.
Okay. So what's going on when you fizzle out? Like, what is that difference between the day before you fizzle out and the day that you fizzle out? That's what we got to look at.
I would say that it generally ends up being a weekend,
mm-hmm.
and I let loose.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm like, oh, I'm tired of thinking about it constantly. I get tired of I get to that point where I'm like, I just want to eat what I want.
Mm.
And then I argue with myself and I'll be like, stop being a baby. You're just throwing a temper tantrum. Like, I feel like I do have this entitlement issue at times with, I want to be able to eat whatever I want. Well, Megan, you can't do that and reach your goals.
And you're also lying to yourself, because it's not what you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, true.
You're not eating what you want. You're eating, or basically you're lying about what you want. You're eating what you want. You want immediate gratification over long-term success.
Right. And the immediate gratification lasts for like 15 seconds and it's gone.
So you are eating what you want, right? Because it's giving you that immediate gratification, and that is what you want right now. So the first step is just being honest with yourself in terms of, okay, I'm choosing this over this. I'm saying yes to this and saying no to this.
Yes. And that discovery worksheet.
Yes.
That, I mean, that spoke to me and I'm like, yes. And even today I was eating off plan. I was starting off the, I mean, it wasn't even 10 a.m. yet. And I was already eating off plan. And I was going down the list like, Megan, is this going to lead you to your goals? No. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it? No. Mm-hmm. But it's like, but I'll still put it in my mouth.
Why?
And then it's, you have all the shame afterwards.
Right.
And then I'll go, okay, you've got to let this go and let's focus on, you know, the next meal.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, let's talk about that specific example, right?
Okay.
When you, let's like rewind time, right? That noise, okay. You know, the dee, 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 whatever it is. Go back to time in time when you are like literally about to put this in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the alternative, right? What would be happening in detail for you if you decided not to put it in your mouth? What would you have to experience? How would it feel? All of that kind of stuff. It's like visualizing that.
Right.
Right. And you've done it before, probably.
Yes.
Experienced it before, and you're here to tell the tale, so you survived. So we know that it doesn't kill you, but what is it that you are saying, you know, that you are avoiding when you put that food in your mouth?
I'm avoiding uncomfortable feelings that I'm having with myself. I'm avoiding like negative thoughts that are probably going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you're, I mean, like, give me a specific example. What was the thing where it's just like you?
Oh, like this morning? It was these caramel candies.
Okay. Like at work or whatever, right?
Yes.
So you had to sit and look at the caramel candies or say no thank you or whatever it was, what would you be experiencing instead if you didn't put one of them in your mouth?
I don't know. I mean, nothing's going to happen, you know.
Like nothing, like you're not going to die or get pregnant. Right?
No, right.
This is the place that we don't let ourselves go to, right? Like for some reason, like we just think, oh, it's going to be uncomfortable and terrible and it's not going to feel good. And I don't want to do that. I'm just going to eat, right? I mean, we got to let ourselves go there and say, okay, what is this? I mean, it's fear. You're living in fear of this other alternative that you have to sit and not have the caramels and want the caramels, but still not have them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and remind yourself of your goals and all of that, but it still feels like ass.
Right.
So what's so bad about that? Because that's what it is, right?
Right.
That's what you're avoiding. Let me close the door real quick. My husband just got home.
Okay.
So is it that bad? You've allowed
no.
before.
And when I can be rational about it, it doesn't look that hard it doesn't seem like it would feel that hard.
So why are you not rational about it in the moment? What's going on there? Are you just kind of going into a zone or a habit?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Like eating the candy is not a habit for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I was at work. I was maybe I mean, I was getting ready to do something I didn't really want to do.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You may have been kind of looking for, like, oh, I need a little bit of comfort before I go do this hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think for you, it could be a matter of just, you know, but it, all of this happens so quickly, right? All of this happens just in a split second and, you know, in the next, you know, and then it's in your mouth.
It does. Yeah. It happens quick.
So for you, it's a matter of slowing down, like slowing down time. When you have an urge, when you see something, I want that. It's a matter of developing this habit, right? Practicing this habit of, you know, kind of knocking yourself into consciousness where mm-hmm. it's like, it's not this automatic thing that happens anymore. It's like, okay, I have an urge. I'm going to step away for a minute, you know, go to the bathroom or whatever it is. And, you know, it sounds like you kind of went through your goals a little bit, but it wasn't super conscious or super intentional, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe something where it's like, you've got to kind of do a different action where you're looking at your phone or looking, you know, going to your desk and looking at a sticky note or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where it just kind of diverts your attention enough where you're not, because I mean, an urge can just like, and the next thing you know, you're just laser focused on whatever it is you have the urge for. And mm-hmm. so it's a matter of that interrupt, right? Kind of interrupt.
Yes.
And that's what you kind of got to come up with some strategies for that, where you're interrupting what keeps happening over and over again.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. And you saying you've got to slow it down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're just on autopilot, right? I mean, it really is just like, you're not, you know, you think what you're thinking is like, next thing I know, it's in my mouth. You know, it's not even
right.
a conscious decision that you're making.
Right.
And so for you, it's like, it's kind of getting your brain to work on, okay, how can I slow this down? How mm-hmm. can I interrupt this pattern? And just getting your brain working on some strategies for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's kind of the immediate thing. But I think mm-hmm. also what's happening is like on a weekend, kind of talking about this fizzling out, right? Because
yeah.
things don't fizzle out. What happens, you know, I'm going to say fizzle out. But what that really means, what fizzling out is, it's a series of choices that you made.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
One after another, after another, after another. I mean, that's what fizzling out is. And so, mm-hmm. but talking about it like that kind of, it kind of lets you kind of take the responsibility off, or just like, well, this is just something that happened to me, right? It just kind of.
Instead of, yeah, I need to look at it as it's a result of my choices. Yeah.
Weight loss is a series of 1,000 choices. And then weight gain is a series of 1,000 little bitty choices. You know, that's what this is. That's what this process is. It's all little bitty choices that you make every day that just add up to either weight loss or weight gain or weight, you know, staying the same
mm-hmm.
or weight going up and down, like you're talking about. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that,
oh, yeah.
you just got to boil it down to the simple facts here.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, no, nothing fizzled out. I made a series of choices that led to me gaining that weight back. And so for you, probably on that weekend, you made one choice off plan, and then your brain just went to, well, oh, well, yeah, we knew we couldn't lose weight anyway. So we're just, okay, so we're just back doing what we used to do, right? Okay, let's just keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really a very, you know, common thing that happens. But it all starts with the one choice, right? It always starts. And so it's a matter of, at that one choice, again, interrupting that pattern, right? Interrupting
mm-hmm.
into consciousness and saying, wait a minute, I can turn this around right now, right? I'm always one choice away from just being right back on plan. Not tomorrow, not on Monday, not in January, you know, like, no, right now I could just
be right back at it.
Yeah. And
our brain, that brain back there, no. It's like,
oh yeah, it'll be screaming.
Oh yeah.
Things.
It's like, oh no, we definitely need to wait till like at least tomorrow, if not Monday, if not next month, if not January of next year. I mean, and so
right.
You've got to be on to yourself with that. And it's like, no, I can actually make the next best choice and just be right back at it. But you've got to practice that, right? And you've got to experience the amazingness of that and the, you know, just amazing empowerment when you mm-hmm. do something like that and you make that choice and you know that you've done something maybe that you've never done before when you've always
right.
had it, you know, for at least a few days or a week or whatever.
Right.
Your brain just like, it just explodes. It's like, oh my gosh, we actually have the power to do something different and not stay in this cycle.
Right. And I know I started off by saying like, I haven't been successful, but I will say, I mean, I have learned so much about myself and picked up on eating patterns and even from the data that I do track. it's been mind blowing with what I've seen, what I've learned.
But you know, but like at the beginning of this call, mm-hmm. you didn't have that all that in the forefront of your mind, right? You were really focused on, you know, what was going wrong, right? And that's why, I mean, again, that's why
right.
we have that question in the planner. We've got to remind ourselves how far we've come. Even just the brand new folks that have joined, right? And all the changes they've made just in the last week. But we, you know, our brain just always wants to focus on what's going wrong and what's not, hasn't happened yet and all the bad stuff. And so
right.
that's another practice to get in place where it's
yeah. like, it's the thought work.
It's just constantly reminding you yourself how far you've come. And that yeah. gets your brain turned in the right direction.
Yeah.
So it's all a process and you're in it, right? You're in it and mm-hmm. it's just a matter of tweaking a few things and leveling up a few little places. It's, you know, mm-hmm. it's all about these small changes, these small choices. Like it literally takes one choice and then you're getting totally different results, right?
Right. So I'll go back and watch this, but so just the thing that I, what, you know, that I can remember at least right now from the phone call is dealing with that urge and maybe having the pre-urge worksheets like yes. readily available,
yes.
To see what I can get out of that.
Yes. Yes. Like just commit to that and say, okay, I am going to, you know, every time
I've done one and it really did help. You know, I kind of was, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh yeah, right. I won't do it. And I did one, but I mean, since then I should have probably done like 543 more, but,
so print out 543, right? I mean, that's step number one. You got to have them at the ready. Or yeah. just, you know, type up the questions on your phone, right? And just answer the questions like, you know, aloud yeah. or whatever. But just right. you got to have that ready so you don't have that excuse of not doing it.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Every okay. time, this is just like with the discovery worksheet, you know, you do that every time. You do this every time with the urge. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, Jane. Try to get through Jane, Christy, and Amber. Right, are you there, Jane? Hello? Are you there? Can't hear anything. There you are. Oh, I can't hear you though. I can't hear you. Do you see anything about the audio on your computer? You may need to go into like into the Zoom app and make sure that you have your audio settings set. Why don't y'all put, if someone can put in the chat, I'm going to take you back down. If somebody could put in the chat exactly what she needs to do, or just any ideas on what she needs to do to get her sound going. Okay, Christy. Are you there? Christy?
Hang on 1 second. Trying to get there. Okay. All right. What do I need to do? Let's see here.
I think I can ask you to start your video.
Okay. Okay.
Here we go. There you are. Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, so I'm actually an April baby, been around a long time, and honestly have done nothing, but a lot of thought downloads.
Great. Well, then you haven't done nothing, right?
So I've done things.
Yes.
I have not been doing the four basics.
Okay. Why?
Maybe 5 or 10% of the time. Okay. I have no idea, because I think I'm feeling tortured with so many of the thoughts I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing the, you know, treating myself like a dog with food.
With food, giving yourself treats, right?
Yeah, I'm great at giving myself treats.
Yeah.
So I do have an accountability group now. Mm-hmm. We just started communicating this week, and mm-hmm. that has already been uplifting and helpful. Mm-hmm. I've changed some medication, so that's also helpful to get me out of the funk. But one of the things I did struggle with that I thought would be an easy part of the basics mm-hmm. is the 2-to-2.
Okay.
Let's say the last thing I eat in the evening is around 9 in the evening. I get up around 8. I'm really not hungry until maybe 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm. 11 or 12, like noon time.
Yeah, noon.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, it's kind of, you know, and I will say I have that bad diet mentality of, you know, you need to eat every 3 hours to keep your metabolism going nonsense in my head.
Yeah, okay,
so but
nonsense.
Okay. That's needs to go out the window. Yeah. But so I'll eat at noon and then I'm just really not hungry again until maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Totally. And then I'm like,
that's me.
Yeah. Is that okay? And yeah. If I put things on my plan, I'm the one that had that question. If I put things on my plan thinking, I'm going to be realistic. I need a treat today because it's going to be a stressful day and I want to have a muffin at some point. Let's say that's my treat. I put it out there because I'm like, I'm probably going to eat one. I'm going to put it on there. And then I don't, what do I do with that? Like, I'm almost worried I'm not eating enough.
Well, your body will tell you, right? I mean, your body.
So eventually it'll catch up.
Well, but you may only need to eat twice a day. I mean, I only eat twice a day.
Okay.
You know, I have coffee in the morning and I mean, you know, some people only eat once a day. Just depends on what their bodies say. And you know, this is kind of what we've talked about some earlier about trusting your body, right? I mean, trusting your body and then hearing all that, you know, old diet mentality, old diet rules kind of stuff in your head and saying, no, I'm doing something new and I'm just trusting my body.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, that's absolutely not for everyone. And for all the newbies on here, you know, it's, we have a lot of people who eat 3 times a day plus a snack. We have some, you know, a lot of people who do 3 meals a day, 2 meals mm-hmm. a day, 1 meal. I mean, it's all of the above. So nothing is normal. You know, nothing is normal. It's all just what works.
Okay.
For you. Just continue to your body and, you know, hone in on that hunger scale and just give it fuel when it needs fuel. And again, that may be once a day. So, I mean, you know, Corinne talks about skipping dinner some days.
Right.
Well, it's just like, I mean, really, our bodies do not need near as much food as we've been giving it. And then also, when you're not eating, you know, it's feeding on your own fat.
Right.
Right? And so there's, you know, there's plenty on board to do that. So that's just not anything to, you know, to worry about in terms of, you know, in that's what we say. So.
Okay. And I have one more question because I think I've only seen maybe once or twice somebody ask about it. And I will tell you, I have quit looking at so many replays and things like that, because I feel like that was distracting me and had me in too many thoughts. So like you were talking with the lady earlier about what was successful, I think on a good day for me is when I'm not in my head all day.
Yes.
I do better. But I mean,
it's not, we're not wanting you to just be in, up in your head all, you know, all day long, right? I mean, there are times when, you know, when you need to actually go to work and do your job,
right?
And take care of your kids and all this kind of stuff, right? So, and that's when it's like, okay, I have this plan. Everything is decided. There's nothing to think about. I'm just
right
listening to my body and eating what's on my plan.
Okay. But the question I've got is around diet drinks.
Okay.
Coke Zero is like a bad thing for me. It's, I mean, I went from drinking, honestly, probably if we were measuring it in cans, probably 5 or 6 a day. So way too many. Mm-hmm. And I've got it down to probably 2 or 3, which is an improvement, but, and I'm still getting my water in on top of that. So is that something that needs to go?
I think, no, if you're getting your water in, I mean, you're fine. Just as long as you're getting your water in too. But I think for you, it's a matter of working on your thoughts around this is bad.
Okay.
Right? No, you're just making a choice, right? Everything is, there are no good and bad foods. There's no good and bad drinks.
Okay.
You're just making a choice and, you know, you may choose to go down farther, you know, with them if you want to, but you don't have to.
Okay.
Nothing to say that diet drinks are, you know, aren't, you know, nothing is off the table, right?
Okay.
Especially if you're getting your water in, then.
Yeah.
Then just, you know, just keep doing it. Don't overthink that for sure.
Okay.
That's good. Not your problem, right? That mean, you know, when right. I say problem, like that's not what's keeping you overweight, right? It's
right.
These treats. And that's where I want you to work on in terms of like, you know, you can absolutely plan realistically, but you also want to question, why do I think I need a treat?
Right.
Like when I'm not hungry.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm certainly not hungry because on the good days when I'm really trying to focus on the hunger, I'm really not hungry. So I'm certainly when I'm treating myself eating not out of hunger at all.
Right. So it's just really questioning, why do I think I need this? And that's what's, you know, what you need to work on and work on.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I've promised myself for this month, my focus is the four basics.
All right. Love it.
And to quit worrying about the thought downloads. I can be in my head way too much.
Yeah. Just, you know, get good at those four basics and then, you know, and realistic planning. And then, you know, and then you can always come back to and you can do the thought work at the same time, but the four basics are the key.
You know, okay. Very good.
Focus on those. All right. Good question.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, Amber, and I don't see Jane back. Jane, if you maybe got it working, you could raise your hand again. We're going to have just enough time. All right.
Hey, Betsy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I recognize you.
Oh.
You've been on a coaching call before with Corinne, haven't you?
Yeah.
That was a good one. I remember.
Yeah, I'm Pizza Girl.
Yes, yes. Okay, what's going on tonight?
So I have been doing, adding a little bit of movement exercise to my day. And I've noticed that I am ravenous after eating. And I wasn't really
after working out.
Mm-hmm.
After, and I wasn't after eating, after you've like eaten a certain amount.
No, just after exercising.
After exercising. Okay. You said after eating, but you meant after exercising.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wasn't really expecting it, I guess I would say. And I was thinking back to what I've done previously, and when I would exercise a lot, I would eat a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, before I joined here, I had decided, you know, I'm not going to exercise. I'm going to try to just do food. And so, I don't know, I'm feeling a little bit stuck because after my exercise, I have been eating, and I have been eating a lot and not good things and not following a plan. And so what I was hoping is you could help me make a realistic plan for after my exercise.
Okay. Well, I love it. Let's actually do like a, you know, let's do a real one, right? Where, okay, what could you put on your plan that would be, you know, maybe kind of a leveled up choice from what you've been eating? Well, first off, before we even go there, I mean, the reality is that sometimes when you incorporate exercise, you do get more physically hungry because your body is, you know, busy repairing muscles and doing all kinds of cell work and things like that. So it's totally normal, right? It's totally normal to get hungrier when you exercise. And so you just continue listening to your body, and you don't do anything different. I mean, but that may mean that you eat more or different foods. And so it's totally normal. So are you good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. So what do you think? So when do you work out?
So I've just started.
Go through a typical day real quick.
So I've just started adding it back in really recently. And so I've been scared, I guess I would say. And I just don't want what I've been doing for the past 2 days or 3 days to be permanent. And yeah. So it's not like this has been going on for a long time. Okay. It's just recent. And So like this past workout, I came through the door and I had Pringles and some chocolate.
Okay.
And
okay. So, because you were like, you worked out and you were feeling really hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what is something else that you could put on your plan that you would like to plan for that time?
So I was thinking if I had some sort of fruit. It's too early for lunch.
Okay.
And so maybe something small. Mm-hmm. And then also maybe something that I can eat. I don't know if this is a good idea, either at the gym in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Or on the way home. So before I even get home, I've already eaten and I don't want to grab anything.
Right, right. Something that you could that even take sense. With you, and you could, like you said, eat at the gym or eat in your car, you know, if but just that's taken care of. And so then when you're walking in, you're not ravenous, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a piece of fruit, some maybe, you know, some little thing of peanut butter. I am not an expert on like protein, carbs, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just mm-hmm. like, okay, what would be a typical snack for you? Do you snack now?
No.
Okay. So yeah, just try like, you know, a piece of fruit, maybe some nuts, maybe some sort of, I don't know, just, you know, kind of some, like, you know, some hummus and little pita chips or something, some pretzels, mm-hmm. you know, just, and it's really going to be kind of experimentation, right? With mm-hmm. how it all feels in your body. So I just think you just kind of come up with a few ideas in terms of what, you know, what snack, you know, that includes maybe a little bit of protein, a little bit of, you know, a protein bar. I mean, if mm-hmm. that's something that, you know, you'd be interested in eating. So, you know, that's what a lot of people do. That, I mean, and that might be a good thing to post in the Facebook group for ideas. I don't really snack. And so, I mean, but when I do snack, it's usually like some nuts.
So. And that's like, so that's what I was kind of thinking about too. I was like, am I actually even hungry?
Yeah.
I feel like I might not even be hungry. And because I would go to McDonald's and I would get, I even thought about it. I thought about it a few times. I was like, I could go to the drive-thru and get, I usually get either a Happy Meal or like get like the little hamburgers. I'd get two hamburgers and a French fry and a soda. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done that in years. You know, I haven't worked out. And then it just felt like it was like second nature to like do it again. And I didn't even put two and two together that would happen. And
so when you're saying when you used to go to the gym, that's what you would have afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So that's just a, you know, that's just some old, you know, habits, right? Kind of resurfacing. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, that's totally normal too, where it's just, yeah, of course, like I'm back to working out and this is what I used to do. So of course my brain is going to want to go and do what it always did after the gym. So, but yeah, you definitely want to assess your body right after the gym and really determine if you're truly physically hungry. So what kind of physical symptom, because I mean, was it really physical symptoms of hunger or was it more in your head?
I think it was more mental. I feel like it was more of a, I don't even know how to maybe explain it, but I looked on the hunger scale and it was, you know, I had like tunnel vision. I literally just grabbed things from the wall. Like I didn't, like that wouldn't even be something I would get. Like I don't really eat the Pringles and stuff. And then I just feel like even in the car driving, I felt like, oh, I know where I can go to get the hamburger. And it was just like,
yeah, I think it was just that kind of that old habit coming back. And I think it would be good for you to explore kind of, I mean, why did you do that, you know, back then in terms of, it was that just your habit? Like you just went to McDonald's after the gym?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's just like, it's just this old kind of programming that's coming back because you're back in this environment again. And so it's just recognizing like, well, of course I'm going to have an urge for McDonald's or just to eat after I go to the gym, because again, that's just this old programming coming back up, but I can handle urges and I'm not doing that anymore. Right. I'm only listening to my body now and just following the hunger scale. So okay. We're just gonna, you know, and you can have a snack with you if you want to, but it's only if you're truly physically hungry.
I'm starting to think that maybe I don't even need a snack talking to you.
Yeah.
And maybe I should just.
I think it's your brain telling you need a snack,
mm-hmm.
not your body. It's more of like a mouth urge than a body urge, or we call that mouth hunger rather than body hunger, right? Or true physical hunger. It's
okay.
Just really more of a mental just. Yeah. I mean, and this is something new, right? That you haven't done in a while. And so you're probably kind of on a little bit, you know, you're doing something new. So you're kind of a little bit on high alert anyway. And then your brain is kind of feeling a little threatened because you're doing this new thing. And so it's kind of just throwing up. Well, like, well, since we worked out, let's go eat now. And so then we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Because your brain is just, it's not used to you doing this again. So
I feel like this is really related to that other issue I was having before. And now I'm recognizing that.
Yes.
So I appreciate that. And I will, I don't think I need a snack. I think I need to do journaling.
Yeah. Just even like keep your journal, you know, with you at the gym or maybe when you get in the car, like say, okay, I'm going to journal when I get into the car from the gym and really figure out what's going on here. If it's really physical hunger or if it's, you know, just stuff going on in my head.
Yeah. Okay.
Work on that. All right.
Perfect. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. I think I saw that Jane was trying to get back on, but I'm not sure, and we've run out of time. So Jane, just try again on the next call. Okay. And so Christy answered Christy's questions. I'm going to go through these calls real quick and then we'll be done. So let's see. I'm wondering if you could give me a thought that would create confidence when I see people at the gym who look skinnier and more in shape than I do. My unintentional thought is that I don't deserve to be at the gym and that creates shame. I want to enjoy going to the gym. So, oh, good, Jen. Yeah, that's a good idea. It could be thirst rather than hunger. Sorry, I got like totally distracted there for a second. So I don't deserve to be at the gym and that creates shame. And so for you, I think it's to kind of start working on a new thought is to ask yourself, why do I deserve to be at the gym, right? Just do some journaling and say, okay, I keep thinking, you know, one of my favorite thoughts is just like, okay, I keep thinking I don't deserve to be here and that's okay. But what if I did deserve to be here? Why would I deserve to be here? Right? And just kind of start exploring with that, start getting your brain to work on that. And because you may not immediately be able to go to, I don't deserve to be here to, I do deserve to be here. but it could be this middle ground where it's like, okay, I'm working on believing I deserve to be here because of these reasons, right? Why do you want to be there? Why do you deserve to be there? You know, why are you, because what you're doing is you're thinking these people at the gym are totally different than you are. How are you more similar than you are different? Coming up with some similarities, because that's what's happening, is that you're totally separating yourself from these other people when we're all people, right? And we're all just working on ourselves. So I think do some journaling on that. And I think a thought will come from that. Janine, no, you don't see any of the Q&A's, so I'll answer them live. And then, but you don't actually see the questions. Mama Mac was, I ate dinner tonight and was at a -1 and finished at a +2. Do I check yes or no on the hunger scale on the 24-hour plan and assessment? Good question. So I would say if you are intending to wait until you're at -2 before you eat, then you did not follow the hunger scale today because you ate at -1. So you would say, no, I didn't follow the hunger scale today because I only waited until -1 to eat. Yeah. And wait a minute. Now I'm getting confused. Oh gosh, y'all. It's late. It's getting late. So, yeah, because you weren't, sorry, y'all. I'm human too. Yeah, because you didn't wait to get hungry enough. Right? And so you just want to, you know, okay, so you didn't follow your hunger scale, right? That's not a reason to beat yourself up. That's not a bad thing. It's a learning opportunity, right? We're either succeeding or we're learning around here. I was talking with another member today about, you know, what if we just took failure out of our vocabulary and we just either succeed or we learn? So what do you want to learn from this? How can you wait until -2 to eat next time? Do you need to eat a little bit less, like at lunchtime or, you know, earlier in the day so that you're for sure at a -2 before you eat? Just start exploring that and learning from that. Can a thought that I am working on believing about myself be, why not me? As in, other people have figured out this weight loss thing, so why not me? Good question. So when you have a thought that's a question, you want to answer it. And that is your thought. So when you hear yourself say, why not me, you want to answer it. So why not you? Right? So I want you to journal that. I want you to get a piece of paper and write, why not me, up at the top and answer that question. And that's going to bring up all kinds of thoughts that you can practice. Let's see. Azizi says, where do we find the compelling reason info? That is all explained, and there's a worksheet in the planner course. So the compelling reason, I just listened to that lesson. And then there's a compelling reason worksheet where you can start coming up with your own compelling reasons. And you want to have as many as you can, not just one. Let's see. Rebecca says, in previous weight loss groups, mainly low carb style, I saw tons of posts and drama about plateaus. I just didn't really realize that I rarely see P&P girls post about plateaus. I'm sure it happens. Have you noticed this? I wonder why. It's encouraging. Well, the plateaus are interesting, right? And Corinne, it's so interesting to when someone asks about a plateau, because this is what she says. When someone says, you know, my weight has plateaued and, you know, I don't know what to do. And she says, okay, a true plateau is 4 to 6 weeks of no weight loss. It's not just a, you know, a week or two here and there, but it is a long time of absolutely no weight loss, and not weight loss going up and down, but like consistent no weight loss. And the thing is, like she says, okay, has it been 4 to 6 weeks? If it has, okay, have you been totally consistent with your four basics? And usually by that point, they're like, well, no, I've actually, you know, hadn't been doing this. And so it's very rare that someone has a true plateau, because there's always something that you can level up on. I mean, and that's the whole thing, where it's just, you know, people think, or a lot of our members think, well, this isn't working for me, but it's because they're not being honest with themselves about what they're doing, right? They're not following the four basics 100%. And so there's some opportunities to level up there. So that's why we don't have a lot of talk about plateaus, because they just don't happen all that often. And so that's how we define plateau around here. All right, that is all I've got. And it is 7:10, so I'm going to get off of here. But thank y'all so much. It was so much fun to coach some newbies and some elders, as we like to call them. And the next thing that we're going to be having is tomorrow at, believe it is at noon. No, 11:30 Central Time. So that's my time zone. That's 11:30. Corinne will be on live from the Cayman Islands. Maybe she'll actually show us a view, y'all. I'm part of the team, and I have not seen one picture of a palm tree or sand or water or anything. I think she's been holed up in a meeting room the whole time that she's been there. And so maybe she will give us a pretty view of the water, because I would love to live vicariously through her and just feel the warmth of the sun right now. It's cold outside. And she's going to be doing a Q&A at 11:30 Central for about an hour. So, and it's Facebook Live. Since she's had some internet issues down there, she's going to be doing it on Facebook Live. So it won't be on Zoom tomorrow like this. We've changed it to Facebook Live. If anyone comes on Zoom, there's another Betsy that's here. Sorry, y'all, like squirrel. Kathy, I think Coach Kathy's actually going to be on Zoom during at the beginning of the call, just to direct people to Facebook Live. But just check in there in Facebook, and because that's where she's going to be, because she gets a better signal with that as opposed to Zoom. So, yes, hi Betsy. There's not a whole lot of us out there, but actually there's several of us in the tribe. So, all right, guys, well, take care. And this replay will be up within 24 hours, and you'll be able to watch it on the website at pmptribe.com, and then also through the private member podcast, the Tribe Live Trainings. All right. See you guys. Bye.